Our topic today is the test. We are truly living in the time of testing. God is preparing a people for eternity. God is proving every human being of what sort they are. And I want to assure you today, according to the Bible, we are not prepared for eternity by sitting around just waiting to be saved. We are not prepared for eternity by just attending church, sitting on the church pew, perhaps singing and shouting and dancing in church, and just waiting to be saved while we accumulate the goods of this world, and while we spend the majority of our time, our talents, our efforts, our money on the things of this world and on ourselves, we will not be preparing for heaven like that. We will not pass the testing times that the Lord is putting us through, living in that way. You know, in crises, people are either drawn closer to God, or they are driven further away from God. The same thing that will make a good man, a Christian man, better will make an evil man, a man who has rejected God, it will make him worse. The same thing will make a good man better and a bad man worse. You know, there is no middle ground, folk. All that come our way, every situation, every set of circumstances, every test, either brings us closer to the Lord or it drives us further away from Him. Either we are making progress up the upward way toward heaven, or we are declining and compromising and living for this world and for temporal things. The demands of this life and of this world will produce in us one of two things. Either it will make us to be more liberal, or it will make us to be more stingy and more selfish. And too often, with the overwhelming majority, the demands of this life and of this world, especially in times of crises like these, work to make us more stingy, more selfish, and less liberal. Somehow we conclude we just can't give. We don't have it to give. Times are hard. Money is short. Obligations are heavy. I just cannot give to the cause of God. I cannot devote my time. I cannot devote my efforts. I cannot devote my talents. And I certainly cannot devote my money, because I need it for my own concerns. I need it for myself. I need it for my obligations and my responsibilities. Too often, that is the mindset. We do not become more liberal, usually, as we ought to in times of crises and in times of pressure. If we would, we would see that God would open the window of heaven and pour us out such blessings that there wouldn't be room enough to receive it. And I'm primarily talking about spiritual blessings. We're always looking for the material and the earthly, the monetary. We're always looking for things in that realm. God primarily wants to bless us in spirit and in truth. God primarily wants to bless us with the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. God primarily wants to bless us with a God-like character and more Holy Spirit power. Those are the things he's going to pour out when he opens up the windows of heaven. But we're looking for houses and land and plenty of money. That's what we're looking for. Earthly minded. And so, too often, instead of the demands of this life and this world making us more liberal, it makes us more stingy. It doesn't make us unselfish. It causes us to put self first, not God, not his kingdom, not his way. You know, we're not like the widow who gave her last mite. She went into the temple of God. Jesus was sitting there with his disciples watching her. She didn't even have a penny, but it was all that she had. She was poor, extremely poor, but she wanted to give what she had to God. And so she put something less than a penny, which was all that she had, into the offering. In her heart, she wanted to donate it. She wanted to give it to God. Now, there were others in the church who put in large sums of money, whole bags of money. And Jesus then called his disciples unto them, and he said, "You see this woman? This woman has given more than all of those other people put together." He said, because she gave of her poverty. She gave sacrificially. She exercised self-denial and self-sacrifice in her giving. She gave all that she had, and she will be blessed. But those others gave of their abundance. They gave as they could spare it. See, they gave what they had extra. They gave something that didn't hurt them. It didn't cause them to have to go without. They gave in that fashion. There was no self-sacrifice. There was no self-denial in their giving. They did not give in that fashion. If giving required that, they would be like most of us. They wouldn't give a thing. And that self-denying, self-sacrificing giving is the giving that is accepted with God. That's the type of giving he wants us to give. Not only of our time, our talents, our efforts, and our money, but of ourselves. And he wants us not to give part, but all. And then he will bless all. When we give all, he blesses all. Lord, help us to understand that. You know, the world is in a lost condition, in gross darkness. The Bible says gross darkness covers the people. People need the Lord. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ more now than ever before. We have already entered into the end of time. We have progressed into the end of the ending of time. We are at the last moments of Earth's history. God help us to see this. We have a very important task to accomplish for God. God gives us the privilege of being used by him. He doesn't need us, but he condescends to use us. He could do it himself. He could send angels to do it. But he uses us and will use men. Whether it's you or not, he will use men. He will accomplish his work. And we need to be willing to allow God. We need to have more the spirit of self-denial and self-sacrifice. We need to give, even if in appearance it would hurt my own self. It would hurt my own concern. I need to put God first. It may be a painful lesson at first. It might seem to be. But it will reap the blessings that nothing else can. It'll teach us the spirit of Christ. It'll teach us self-denial and self-sacrifice on a level that is that which Christ lived. God wants the overwhelming majority of your efforts, of your talents, of your time, and of your money. That's what God wants. He doesn't want to be second. He wants to be first. The kingdom of God and His righteousness must be first. We are living in the time when characters are being tested. They are being developed and they are being sealed for eternal life or for eternal destruction. Where do I stand? That's the question you ask yourself. Of what sort am I? Psalms 50 and verse 5. This is what God says. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Have we made a covenant with God by sacrifice? Or do we shun sacrifice? Do we believe that sacrifice is no part of our religion? Is it true that sacrifice is in reality no part of our religion? If it hurts us, is it true that we will not give? Do we go to the house of God and put the famous $1 bill in the plate while we spend thousands of dollars on our homes and on our cars and on the appliances we put in our houses and the apparel that we clothe ourselves with, on the physical food that we eat? We spend large sums of money, thousands of dollars, on ourselves and on our own concerns. And we have gotten to the point where we believe that that's right. We've gotten to the point where we believe that God does not require of us to give our all to Him. We believe that we are to serve ourselves. God gives to us so that we can lavish it upon ourselves. And we lavish all that we receive, at least the overwhelming majority of it, on ourselves. And do that waiting to enter heaven where we're going to receive even more. That's a delusion which far too many professed Christians are under. And then they want to accept the gospel that teaches them that you can be rich. And that's God's will for you. Just to give you money, money, plenty money, more money. And they go to church. And they want to listen to a sermon about how they can get more money. And how they can be rich. And how they can have more. More. They want more of this world. More of this world. But they want heaven too. It doesn't work. It will not work that way. It will not work that way. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of another. I want to read to you something. It's found in Luke chapter 14. I'm going to start with verse 16. And I want everyone to see, where do I fit in these parables? And be honest with yourself. The Bible says, then said he unto them, this is Jesus, he's given a parable. A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. The first call went out to the people who were supposed to be the people of God. That's the church. That's people like us. We were busy. I want to look at the parable. I want you to look at the parable. The first man said, the first person said, the first excuse was, I bought a piece of ground. I have to go and see it. Have me excused. Listen, that sounds legitimate. Who buys something and don't go to see it? Going to see the ground, buying the ground, the business of this world, the concerns of this world, took priority over the call of God. That was the problem. It was an excuse that he used. He gave that first place. The second said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Sounds good, sounds sound, sounds reasonable. I mean, if we compare it to our day, a person would say, I've bought 5 trucks. That's the equivalent of an ox. I at least have to go and see them. I got to go prove them. I have to know if they're good quality trucks. I can't just buy them. Sounds like it's reasonable. The problem is the things and cares of this world, the concerns of this world were put before the call of God, the command of God, the work of God. And then the last person said, you know, I've married a wife and I can't come. They put some personal relationship in their life before God. Instead of doing God's work and God's will, they had to deal with this relationship. None of these things that are named here are in and of themselves evil. None of them. But they have been placed in front of doing God's work and God's will. They have been put in first place. And God is no longer in first place. And so the master said, you go out and you just get the maimed and the lame and the halt and the blind and bring them in so that my house may be filled. And when there was still room, he said, you go out and you compel folk. We ought to go out and witness with that type of spirit and attitude. Compel the folk to come in, that my house may be filled. And then he said, you know, none of those who were bidden at first will taste of my supper. We as professed Christians need to beware and we need to be careful. That's to us. We come to church and we say we love the Lord and we say that we're saved and we sit around and do nothing for the Lord while we're waiting to go to heaven. It will never happen. We hoard what we have. We don't give it for the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, we give something. We're like the Pharisees of old. We give what we can spare. We give that which won't hurt us. We give of our abundance. We don't consider ourselves rich, but we give something. We don't give sacrificially. We don't give in the spirit of self-denial and self-sacrifice. We don't give like the poor widow who gave all that she had. She gave up her poverty. She gave what she needed to the cause of God, and God blessed her. God provided for her. Moreover, she had heaven and eternity. Those who put the other concerns first not only eventually lost them, or if they live long enough and die, they will lose it that way. But they lose out on heaven. Not because these things are evil, but because they put these things in first place. They have priority over God, over his work, over his will, what he would have. Do we do the same? too often? Yes, we do. Many worthy causes, we just feel like we don't have to give. We can give that all famous dollar bill, $1 bill in the church plate. And if we feel like we want to be generous, we might even give a $10, $20, $40. And we'll go out and pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for other things, the things of this world, and feel perfectly justified. We give God the majority of nothing. We don't give God the majority of our money. We don't give God the majority of our time. We don't give God the majority of our talents. We don't give God the majority of our efforts. God gets the majority of nothing. God gets from us lip service. Oh, I love the Lord. I praise the Lord. I'm saved. All of which is false. It's proved false by our action. The Lord says, I must be first. The kingdom of God must be first. What I require of you is that you give me all. You forsake all. And except you do this, you cannot be my disciple. That's what Luke 14, verse 27 says. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. The Lord is not playing. The Lord does not want part of you. He wants all. The Lord will accept all or he will take nothing at all. I said the Lord will accept all of you or he will take or accept nothing at all. It's all or nothing at all. All has to be given to the Lord. He has to be Lord of all. We have this compromise gospel where we can just give a little bit to the Lord, a little bit of our heart, a little bit of our obedience, a little bit of our money, a little bit, and he just will accept it. Yes, he seeks to purify us, but if we'll not get to the point where we give him our all, we will not and cannot be saved. We will never be his disciples, giving him a small portion. That's the Bible, and that's the truth. It's all or nothing at all. Let me read one other section of scripture. And where are you in this parable? And when much people, this is in Luke chapter 8, I'm going to start with verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell on a rock. And soon, as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parable, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they that fell among thorns are these, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground they are which are in but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Which ground are you? Which ground are you? God, help us to see ourselves. Which ground are you? Many of us who are in the church, who profess to be Christians, who profess to be saved, are among the group where the word of God fell among the thorns. The problem is that it was choked. They didn't leave the church. They still professed they were saved, they loved the Lord, but the word was choked with the cares of this world and the riches of this world and the pleasures of this life. And thus they bring no fruit to perfection. Now, the seeds that fell, the word that fell on good ground, are honest and a good heart. They kept the word. That means they obeyed God's word and brought forth fruit with patience. The Bible says, and hundredfold. They brought forth fruit first in character. They were God-like in character. Secondly, as the fruit of that, as a result of that, they brought forth fruit in bringing souls to Jesus, just like the woman at the well, who went out and brought the city to Jesus. Which are we? Are we doing God's work? Or are we pew warmers? Just sitting around, singing and shouting and waiting to enter heaven. Are we selfish? Do we want the Lord just to give us more and more and more and more and more and more? And then eventually just heaven and riches and mansions and streets of gold. That's the type of attitude. Some of us are absolutely selfish. We think about nobody but ourselves. That's the life we live. That's the nature we have. That's because our heart needs to be changed. We go to church for gain. We want God to keep us well while we eat everything under the sun that destroys our health. We want to go and pray for healing. We disobey the laws of health. We disobey the laws of our body. We destroy our own health. Every time we sit down at the table, instead of saying, Lord, bless this food, we ought to say, Lord, forgive me for even eating it. We destroy ourselves, but we go to church, we pray for healing. Selfish. We pray, Lord, bless me with more money, with bigger house, with this and that. We're covetous. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, we want this, we want that. That's the way we live. When it comes to being self-denying and self-sacrificing, giving the majority of my money for the cause of God, that's foolishness to us. When it comes to spending my time from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same to work for the building of the kingdom of God, that's foolishness to us. We can't do that. We have to take care of this. We have to take care of this. This is my responsibility. This is my duty. Let me tell you, we don't have to quit our jobs to work full-time for the Lord. We just need to be full-time ministers for God on our job. And when we are in the store, we're in the laundromat, if we're at the bus stop, if we're in the subway station, wherever we are, we're the minister of God there. And we certainly need to be more sacrificial with our money. That is the way we save up treasure in heaven. That is the way God blesses us and increases us, first of all, spiritually, in character. Not just with more money, more material gains. Most of us don't need a lot of material gains. They weigh us down. We feel like they're blessings. Most of the time, they're curses. If God weighs us down with too many of the things of this world, they cost money. They absorb our time, our talents, our efforts, our money, as we should be able to clearly see by the life we live. The things of this world tie us up. We don't have time to spend a lot of time in prayer. We don't have time to spend a lot of time in church. We don't have time to spend a lot of time out laboring for souls. And we don't have, we can't give money. We have to pay the bills that the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh has caused us to create. But we don't see any of that. And so we pray that the Lord will bless us with more and more and more and more and more. And then ultimately we want to just enter heaven and really, really receive more and more and more. It won't work. We need to be changed. Now is the time of testing. God is calling on you to make a covenant with him by sacrifice. Psalms 50, verse 5 says, "Gather my saints together unto me." This is what a saint is. "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Let's sacrifice, folk, all that we are and all that we own to the Lord. Put it on the altar. Give it to him. Let's begin to move in the direction of giving the majority of our time to God, giving the majority of our talents to God and using them that way, giving the majority of our efforts and our energies to God and using them for the upbuilding of his kingdom, and giving the majority of our money for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God, saving up treasure in heaven, being like the widow, giving all that we have, giving of our poverty, and then we can watch God bless us. Not with a 25-bedroom house and a Rolls Royce and a private jet, but with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But with the characteristics of God that radiate from us everywhere we go. From a fuller understanding of the Word of God, filled with the knowledge and understanding and wisdom of God, wise as far as knowing how to go about to do the work and will of God, because Jesus has been your teacher and Jesus has made you to be personally a fisher of men. Those are the things that we need to be blessed with, not the material. God will give that as it is appropriate. We don't need to labor and cry and pray for those things as we always do, being earthly minded. We need to pray for the spiritual. We need to make a covenant with God by sacrifice. Find some worthy project to commit your life to. Find some worthy projects to commit your money to. You invest in souls. You invest in the kingdom of God, and God will bless you. That is the way we save up treasure in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful that you have called us. You give to us so that we can give. You do not give to us so that we can hoard it for ourselves, as we too often do. Lord, help us to see different. Open our eyes. Change our hearts. Make us genuine Christians. Bless us. Enable us to forsake all that we have. Lay all on the altar. Give God all we are and all we own. Let it be a reality in the life that we live. Bless us to be like Jesus, a servant of servants, seeking to save that which is lost. Help us to know that if we want to know God in the most powerful way, if we will choose that type of life, there is no limit to how much God will reveal himself to us and fill us and use us. Speak to us. Touch us. Bless us, Lord. We love you. We submit ourselves to you. These blessings we ask in confidence in Jesus' name. Amen.